This is Football Nation. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL, headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio. Week 12 in the NFL is here, and it starts tonight with the Saints and the Falcons. I'm Bill Enright, and with me is Todd DeVries. Todd, we got a lot to talk about today. Huge matchup with the Broncos and the Patriots. It's the 14th meeting between Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Sports Illustrated's Peter King will join us in just a bit to talk about that game. But before we get into the Sunday night action, let's quickly talk about the Thursday night game. It's just kicking off here in just a few hours with the Saints and the Falcons. You know, in the preseason, we're looking at this game and we're saying, wow, I can't wait for it. But now, it's kind of lame.
Yeah, well, the Falcons, your Super Bowl pick, Bill.
That's right.
Always got to mention that. Have, fallen off the deep end. I still think it's a big game tonight because the Saints have a lot riding on this, Bill. They're sandwiched in that number two spot in the NFC. And, you know, the game against Seattle looms large next week for them.
That's okay? Very true.
Got to stay one game behind Seattle. And then if you beat Seattle next week out in Seattle, then you're the number one seed. You know, you have the tiebreaker. If you lose tonight, you fall down into a tie with the Carolina Panthers for the 2-3 seed. And by the way, you got to play the Panthers twice in the next couple of weeks. So, you know, I think there's a lot riding on this game for the Saints.
They certainly can't take this game lightly. The Falcons do tend to play well at home. I mean, before this year, they were always good at home. And then this year, kind of, they're down in the tank there. But since it is a divisional game, you always have to take these seriously. The Saints just can't look past the Falcons and focus on the Seattle Seahawks, their next week's matchup.
No, and you know, you never know what motivates a team. I mean, the Falcons' season is all but over, but you know, wouldn't beating the Saints, you know, give them something to cheer for, those Atlanta Falcons fans this week. You never know what motivates a team, Bill. You saw Tampa Bay play some teams really hard when they were winless. You know, right. They came out and looked pretty darn good. And hey, Matt Ryan's still the quarterback of the Falcons. You never know. That game is in Atlanta tonight. So,
yeah.
Stranger things have happened, obviously. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Falcons gave them a bit of a game. I mean, you've got the Saints coming off, you know, a tough game against the Niners on 3-4 days rest. So anything can happen tonight.
And that's a key factor there, Todd. I mean, we know the Thursday night games historically this season have been very below average in terms of what teams typically do in the scoring department. So you think of the New Orleans Saints, a very high-octane offense, and they're putting up points against some of the best defenses in the league this year. Drew Brees on pace for another 5,000-yard season. But because it's such a short week, you kind of question, you know, maybe this is a week that the Falcons can try to stay in it. But their defense is just so bad.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Their defense is terrible. The Saints are going to score a lot of points. It's really, in my view, it's more up to the Atlanta offense getting their act together. Maybe they can get some actual production out of the running game one of these weeks. Mm-hmm. Maybe, Bill? Who knows? Probably not. You know, they need a healthy Gonzo. They need Harry Douglas to play well. It doesn't look good for the Falcons, Bill.
No.
But you never know. These Thursday night games are wacky, you know? I mean, last week you had the Colts having to come from behind again, right?
Yeah.
In a game that everyone thought they were going to win easily. The week before that, the Redskins play the Vikings. Redskins dominate the first half, and they fall apart in the second half, lose the game to the Vikings.
Right.
So who knows? These games are weird. These Thursday night games are weird. The Saints better be careful. I expect the Saints to win, but the Saints they surprisingly have a lot riding on this game, Bill. But you're right. I mean, when we looked at this back in August, we thought this was one of the best Thursday night games of the year.
And it just completely just
happens every year, though.
It happens every year. It does. You know? It certainly does.
Yep.
We're going to get into some fantasy football lineup questions. I know this is a major week for a lot of people out there doing their fantasy football playoffs in just 2 weeks. The regular season for fantasy, Todd, really just week 12, week 13, And then the playoffs start in week 14. So I know a lot of people out there have some very important lineup questions to get in. We'll be taking your calls a little bit later in the show. 855-728-7500. You can also email us, webradiopatriots.com. Kerry Byrne from coldhardfootballfacts.com will join us a little bit later in the show to talk about some the dumbest and smartest teams in the NFL, as only Kerry can do with his quality stats. And, of course, we want to say hi to our producer, Kevin Collins. Kevin, what's going on, man?
Not much, guys.
Kevin, just
trying to lick my wounds.
We didn't have a show on Tuesday due to the Monday Night Patriots game.
It's better off that way.
Yeah, probably, because you were steaming. I actually sent you a little message, and I got no reply.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Bill, I sent you a quick message.
Wow, ignored Todd on the text.
Yes. And it wasn't
No, you didn't
jab.
Text me. That's a lie.
No, it was a Skype.
Nobody talks on Skype.
Okay. Bill, I got the snub, baby.
I don't have Skype like wired to my phone or anything like that.
All I know is it said Kevin Collins is online. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll shoot
just
him a
leave
quick
it up
message.
Here in the studio in case one of you knuckleheads want to get a hold of me.
Yeah, you should
You're
have been
the only two
at the
that I know
of
that
my
use
text.
It.
It was Tuesday. It was the day after.
Whatever.
No reply, Bill. I got no reply.
Wow.
Crickets.
Cold shoulder. I can't believe it, Kevin.
Yeah. Well, what I wanted to get out of Kevin was obviously his opinion on the call for Monday night. But
I thought it was garbage.
Kevin, did you think it was garbage, or were you upset that it was the Patriots and you guys got robbed?
No, I thought it was garbage. I think that...
So if that was Tony Gonzalez and it was Navarro Bowman or Patrick Willis tackling Gonzalez in the end zone, would you really consider it a garbage play?
I'm going to give you my quick take before I get our guest here.
Okay.
My biggest complaint was, if the flag never gets thrown, Bill, mm-hmm. I'm disappointed and I'm upset and I'm
Bingo.
Angry as a Patriots fan, but yeah. I'm not, you know, I'm not going crazy. Because then I would be a hypocrite, Bill, for saying in the Jets game, you know, in that situation with the field goal at the end,
yep.
you know, keep the flag in your pocket, don't affect the end of the game, right?
Exactly.
I would be a hypocrite if there was no flag on that play and I, you know, went to town trying to, you know, go at the officials, okay?
I'm with you there.
Okay, so then my biggest complaint was, and I don't know how I can say this any more clearly, but the back judge's lone, I'll say responsibility on that
sure.
play, and he's doing his job there. He's got, you know, he's right on the back of the end zone, and he's looking at the middle of the field. He's staring right at Gronk, right?
Right.
There was no hesitation whatsoever in his motion or in his mechanics, and he threw that flag right down instantly after it happened.
Right.
Like, with force, right at his feet. You saw it instantly come into the television. There was no indecision whatsoever.
With force.
Saw the hold, called the
okay.
flag.
Okay, all right. So it was very clear to me. He's doing his job. He's staring where he's supposed to. He's, you know... He goes through the proper quote unquote mechanics, as Mike Pereira would say, of his position back there.
Yep.
Now, the way that I understand it is he can be overruled, much like the side judge of the umpire or any of the other officials, by the white hat, who's the referee in this case,
sure.
Clay Blakeman, okay? He gets the final say. Because ultimately he's in charge of the crew, it's his ass on the line. So for Clay Blakeman to come in and kind of, you know, give us this in essence bullcrap of the ball being uncatchable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you look at the proper quote-unquote mechanics of Cleet Blakeman's position as a referee, it's about 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Is that correct?
Yeah.
The ball was on the 18-yard line, so he's standing in between probably the 25 and the 30-yard line.
Right.
That ball was intercepted, and the interference happened probably, what, 5 yards deep in the end zone, I'd say?
Defensive lineman, offensive lineman,
yeah.
players
so,
in front
so,
of him.
So Cleet Blakeman's looking at if the quarterback gets roughed, he's looking at holding. He's looking
sure.
at illegal hands to the face. He's looking, you know, at the play clock. Are there too many guys on the field? All that stuff he's looking at. He's not looking 30 yards downfield in the back of the secondary, Bill,
yeah.
to determine if that's uncatchable.
Okay.
Okay? That's my biggest – and that's not just as a football fan or a Patriots fan. Like, you know, I love basketball. You know, we've talked about it before.
Right.
And – you know, I played basketball my entire life, and whenever I've had a beef, like when I was playing high school basketball or whatever, or with an official, and it happens in hockey a lot too, is when an official makes a call and he's, you know, 3 miles away from where the play happened, and there's a guy who it happens right in front of, and he doesn't make the call. You know, that drives athletes everywhere bananas.
Crazy.
You know, if the guy who's supposed to be there officiating that part of the field, the ice, or the court, is staring right at the play and doesn't reach for the flag, blow the whistle, then how can a guy in another zip code who's not even supposed to be looking at that area make that judgment? And to me, that's my biggest disappointment along the line, along with the fact that we never got that explanation. You know, I get that, and I understand that, and that pisses me off too. But my biggest beef is, like, an athlete slash guy who loves sports and not just football is, like, that's not even your zip code, Cleet Brinkman.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's my thing, and I'm going to go get the guests now.
Todd, did you happen to see the sports science breakdown of how they kind of confirmed that that was a catchable ball for Gronk?
Yeah, I thought they were a little wishy-washy with their analysis, actually.
They kind of were like, you know, I love the sports science guy. Who is that? John Berkus? Something like that. He's great. We'll be able to break that down a little bit later in the show. But they basically said, you know, based on Gronk's speed and ability to stop or slow down and then, you know, turn around and go back toward the ball, he would have been able to make that. He would have been able to make that catch.
Yeah, he wouldn't have.
He would have been able.
Yeah,
to.
Yeah. Yeah, he would have been able. That's what I've been saying, you know, all along. I'm with Kevin. I mean, when the flag is dropped, I was surprised they overturned it.
Especially without an explanation. I mean, you'd think that they would say something in response or go talk to Coach Belichick. But they just ran off the field.
Yeah, it's very odd.
Very, very odd.
Yeah, it's very odd.
We have plenty of time to break down the Panthers and Patriots game, but we also want to focus on the upcoming game this weekend with the Broncos and the Patriots, one of the best matchups of the season, and we are pleased to be joined, honored to be joined, by Peter King of SportsIllustrated.com here on Football Nation, Patriots.com Radio. Peter, thanks so much for joining us today. How are you?
My pleasure, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. You know, a controversial week, not only in the Patriots universe, but also with the 49ers and the Saints game, the Ahmad Brooks and Drew Brees play, and the penalty. I read in your Monday morning article this week, you say, or you wrote, that quarterbacks are sacred. And what do you think of the direction the NFL is moving toward when it comes to protecting passers? Should the defensive guys just shut up, stay quiet, and adapt to the new rules?
Well, I mean, I don't know what the alternative is. You know, honestly, things aren't going to change. You know, earlier this year at our website, themmqb.com, Mike Westhoff, the former Jets special teams coach, longtime special teams coach in the NFL, wrote a story for our site that basically talked about how he thinks that, you know, the kickoff rules are taking an exciting play out of the game and all that, and he's absolutely right. But even Mike Westhoff and all the special teams coaches in the NFL understand that the new rules trying to take more concussions out of the game are not designed to make the game better. They're designed to make the game safer, and they don't make the game better. It's like the rules protecting the quarterbacks and on helmet-to-helmet hits. Those rules aren't making the game better. They're making it safer. And that is what has to happen in the NFL now. As much as you know, people don't want to hear that or talk about it, it's a fact that the only way this game is going to survive long-term is if on plays like the Drew Brees play, the Ahmad Brooks, sack of Drew Brees, that on that play, the penalty is called. Is it fair? Is it right? Is it equitable? Probably not. But, you know, that is the way that the game is going to be called now, and that's the way the game is going to have to be played. So whether I think it's a smart idea, good idea, honestly, I do think it's a smart idea. But whatever somebody like me thinks just doesn't matter because, honestly, that's the way the game is going, and nobody's going to stop it.
Yeah, I agree, Peter. And I wasn't surprised at all when they made the call. It seemed like it wasn't a helmet-to-helmet hit, but it was the forearm caught the neck kind of at the end of the hit or in the middle of the hit. I don't know about you, but I wasn't surprised at all when I saw the yellow flag drop on that one.
No, and you know, people also, you know, I read a bunch of things that said he didn't, you know, he didn't yank his helmet, he didn't go helmet to helmet, anything like that, you know, which, you know, obviously he didn't, but in the rule book it says head or neck area.
Right.
Yep. And if you look at that play and don't think he made contact with his neck, well, you need to look at the play again because he did. So it's, I just didn't, I know that it was a tough call because of the time of game.
Sure.
And the game situation, but it's the call that had to be made, I thought.
No, let's think about it, too. I mean, you know, there was still plenty of time left in the game. It wasn't a last-second call, per se. There was still plenty of time, plenty of timeouts and whatnot. So, I don't know. I think that there was much too much of a stink about that one. But sticking to the quarterbacks, Peter, got a pretty special game coming up this weekend in Gillette Stadium, the 14th meeting between Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. And, you know, you've covered the NFL for a very long time. I was trying to rack my brain today to see kind of where this ranks among the great quarterback rivalries in NFL history. And I was kind of struggling to find anything better because they've met so many times, many of those times in huge, huge, you know, games in the playoffs.
I mean, I think that when you look at some of the great quarterback rivalries over the years, one of the reasons why it's so odd, honestly, that they've met 14 times. I mean, if you look at some of the other great rivalries, in part because, you know, they guys were in different conferences. But let's just say you look at Dan Marino against Joe Montana, for instance. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, in the late 80s and 90s, that was a huge rivalry, really all through the 80s after Marino got drafted in 84. But think about it. You know, they played in 84 and 86, and I think I'm right. They only played two more times.
Yeah,
I think it was 92 and 95. And, you know, so, you know, that, what a great rivalry that was between two great quarterbacks, and they didn't play very often. You know, another rivalry would have been, you know, Marino and Elway. And those guys didn't play very often either. So I think it's really sort of been a treat to see these guys play so often and to see, obviously, them play at such a high level. But when I think of this rivalry, one of the things I think of is how many games other people were huge, huge factors in the game. Probably when you write the story of the day after the game, there are other people that are bigger. Edger and James with a huge fumble, I think on opening day 2004. Bill Belichick with the controversial call on fourth down. I mean, sure, he was the story that day. Willie McGinnis, you know, what a huge defensive play a few years ago that turned basically decided the outcome of one of these games. So I think often, in as much as we want to say that it's Brady against Manning, it ends up being somebody else getting the headline the next day.
Well, Peter, who do you think that could be in this particular game? You know, who's kind of the underrated X factor or the matchup to watch?
Well, I mean, if you could tell me right now that Aqib Talib was going to play at or very close to normal, I would pick him, because I think if he plays really well, maybe either forces a turnover or has an interception, that you know, would mean that the Patriots would have a very good chance of winning. I think because of New England's secondary now and it being so beat up, you know, a guy like Aqib Talib becomes a huge factor in the game. I think on the other side, if New England wins, I would not be at all surprised if it were one of the running backs. Because I think in this game, what has to happen is that New England's got to keep the ball away from Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And so you know, I mean, is Shane Vereen going to be that multi-purpose weapon that before the year everybody thought he was going to be, or maybe touch the ball 20 times from a bunch of different vantage points on the field? Who knows? But I think those are two guys who I might look at.
Football Nation Radio, broadcasting live on Patriots.com. Pleased to be joined by Peter King of TheMMQB.com. Peter, in the preseason, you made the prediction for the Super Bowl and the AFC Championship. Broncos and Patriots were meeting in the AFC Championship. The same prediction my partner here, Todd, made. And you also predicted the Pats would win, also Todd's prediction as well. But you said something that caught my eye, and you said this would be Tom Brady's shining moment. Considering all he's done throughout his stellar career, why do you think postseason success this year would be his best?
Well, because he would obviously be breaking in a huge number of new guys. And, you know, whoever would end up being on the receiving end of his passes in January, it was going to be a huge difference. And to me, a hugely different team. And to me, I kind of look at what they've gone through so far, and I say, okay, Monday's game notwithstanding, I think Brady has held the thing together pretty well. I mean, they're on their way to winning this division again, even though the division continues to be a weak sister beyond New England.
Yeah.
I always thought it was going to be because of all the guys, all the new guys he was going to have to deal with this year.
Yeah, it's interesting to me, Peter, that, you know, the Patriots have kind of found different ways to win this year. Early in the season, they're winning ugly games, but they're winning. You know, they scored 55 points against the Steelers, kind of showing you a glimpse of the offense that a lot of people were expecting. I think that bodes really well for them come playoff time. You know, a couple years back when they had that record-setting offense, you know, what happens when the offense lets you down? Can you get it done? And in the Super Bowl, it didn't. I think this year they can win in a number of different ways. And we were trying to talk some of the Patriot fans off the ledge, Bill and I, earlier in the season, because they were so upset with the offensive production. But I think they're going to be
It's one of those
fine.
Things that you sort of knew at the beginning of this year that they weren't going to click right from the start, that they just were not set up to play very well right from the start. So I think one of the things that's been really helpful to them this year is that they got some wins when they weren't playing particularly good football. Mm. And when that happens, when you're winning games and you're not playing very well, that is a sign that down the road, when you get your people back and everything, you're going to be in pretty good shape.
Peter, I want to move away from the Broncos and the Patriots here for a second. You were in Chicago this past weekend. We know about the big weather delay and the tornadoes and the crazy amount of the rain and the storm that came through. Was that one of your wackiest weather experiences covering an NFL game?
It was pretty strange. You know, because, I mean, I've really started to, you know, with the weird weather we've got in this country now, and obviously the weather patterns are changing, and we are going to continue to have some strange weather, but with the weird weather you have now, you start to wonder, is the NFL going to get to the point where, as in baseball, you reach a point after two and a half hours where you say, you know, this is just too long to delay a game.
Right.
And, you know, I'm really starting to wonder whether they're going to get to that point in the NFL. I honestly felt they were an hour and a half into it, and they started saying the two teams are going to be back out here, they're going to be warm enough soon, blah, blah, blah. And I said, why? I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people had, clearly a lot of people had left. The weather was so horrible that I think some of them wanted to go home to check on their homes to see if they were okay.
Right.
But, you know, I think the NFL has to probably set some sort of protocol up, because I don't know how you can expect players to go out there, warm up, do everything, and then go sit around for 2 to 3 hours. What happens if you have to sit around for 4 hours? Should you still play the game? or should you come back and play the next day?
Right.
I think that's one of the things the NFL is going to have to look at going forward.
Peter, keeping on topic with weather, we got a Super Bowl in the Meadowlands on February 2nd. I know you're not a big fan of the outdoor Super Bowl in a cold climate. You know the Meadowlands very well from your days covering the Giants. Do you think it's unfair for two teams to play in potentially cold, snowy, icy conditions? And how about for the fan and the whole experience? And what's your take on that?
I don't like it. I've talked about that a lot over the last couple of years, but I don't like it for a number of reasons. Number one, you don't want the marquee game in your sport for the season to be played in horrible weather conditions, potentially. And, you know, look, everybody needs to understand something. If this is a nice day and it's unseasonably warm, it's 53 degrees and sunny and a beautiful day, relatively speaking, for midwinter in New Jersey, what do you think that's gonna mean? I'll tell you exactly what it's going to mean. On Monday morning, February 3rd, Robert Kraft, Pat Bowlen, Jeff Lurie, Daniel Snyder, name them. You name all the teams with outdoor stadiums in the north or in the midsection of the country, Clark Hunt. These people are all going to be lined up and saying, hey, we got enough hotel rooms in our area. We want a Super Bowl. Look at how great this experience was. Look at how great the experience was in Indianapolis, even though that was a dome stadium. The weather was so beautiful that week, they might as well have opened the roof.
I was wearing a T-shirt.
I sort of look at all of that, and I just say, is this what the NFL wants? Does the NFL want, 1 year, the Super Bowl to be played in a sleet storm where it's 33 degrees, and fans who, by the way, fans have to get to a Super Bowl probably at least 2 hours beforehand to make sure you're going to get in for the first play. So you're standing outside waiting to get into the stadium. Let's say you arrive at the Meadowlands at 3:30 in the afternoon for a 6:30 kick. You're going to be outside for 7 hours. You're going to be outside for 7 hours if you stay to the end of the game. So is that really how you want to treat your fans? Do you want to have your marquee game, the greatest game of your year, potentially played in a sleet storm? I don't think the NFL wants that, but that's what they're going to get one of these years, particularly if this is a beautiful day on February 2nd.
I grew up less than 10 miles away from the Meadowlands, and I can tell you I don't remember a 50-degree day in the middle of February or the beginning of February going back, I don't know, at least 15 years. It's always been cold. But regardless of the Super Bowl, we'll certainly see what happens. Probably an AFC Championship preview this weekend. Peter, can we get your prediction on the Broncos and the Patriots?
I like Denver. I just think they got too many answers offensively, especially if Peyton Manning has the kind of time he had the other day against Kansas City. Now, it wasn't always a perfect pocket or anything like that, but, you know, he dropped back, I think, 40 times in the game, and by my count, he got pressured significantly 3 times. He never got knocked down and obviously never sacked. I mean, his guys really came up big on the front line. So I kind of like Denver, but, you know, the one thing I would say about the Patriots is that they're not going to be thinking of what happened on Monday night. You're not going to have guys in that team, I'm sure, even as of today and later in the week, you're just not going to have the guys on this team thinking about, how we got jobbed on Monday. I think that's been put to bed, and that's not going to be a huge factor in this game.
Monday morning quarterbacks, Peter King, special guest today on Football Nation. Peter, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Take care. You can follow Peter's work, of course, TheMMQB, mmqb.si.com. You can follow him on Twitter, SI_PeterKing. Pretty interesting theory there, Todd, regarding bad weather and whether or not the NFL is starting to will have to make some changes to their rules regarding delaying games and postponing games.
You know, it's at the end of the day, the Super Bowl destination is a money grab, right, for the city.
Yeah.
And he's exactly right. If it does turn out to be a nice experience, you're going to have all of the Northeast and Midwestern owners lining up.
Yeah.
To there's just so much money to be made. A quick example: there is a local soccer tournament, Bill, that's like a town over from me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kids soccer: U8, U9, U10, U11, U12.
Sure.
It generates, they have like 600 teams that come in, $6 million to the local economy.
Come on, really?
Yeah, for this little soccer tournament, one weekend.
Wow.
So the Super Bowl is that time, this is ridiculous. So these owners, it would be very, very interesting, like Peter said, if it's a nice experience and it all works out well, to see what happens next. Because, like you said, Robert Kraft and Jeff Lurie and the guys, they're going to be knocking on Roger Goodell's door the next day.
Well, I mean, aren't they justified?
Yeah, they are.
I think that would be...
They opened a can of worms here, Bill.
Yeah, right.
You know,
certainly
they opened
did.
A can of worms, and it's going to be really interesting. Now, if it's a disaster, I still think these owners have already had the conversations. You know, you give one to New York, why don't you give one to us? But I think it'll be a lot harder if it's a, you know, terrible experience for everybody.
All right, so that was Peter King with us here on Football Nation. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll dive deeper into the Broncos and the Patriots matchup this week, and you're listening to Football Nation on Patriots.com radio.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February, because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation. Bill Enright here with Todd DeVries. The number that you can call for your fantasy football questions, 855-728-7500. We're taking your emails, webradio@patriots.com. Todd, I want to backtrack just a little bit, focus, really dive in to this Patriots and Broncos matchup, because it's just so special. Whether you're a huge Pats fan or just a general fan of the NFL, everyone wants to watch this game. This is the game that everyone's been waiting for.
Yeah, Bill, of course. We circled this one on the calendar at the beginning of the year. There's a lot of ramifications here for both teams and for basically the whole AFC. Right. Yep. Now, the Broncos, by beating the Chiefs last week, they are now in the number one spot in the playoff pecking order.
Number one. Chiefs,
numero uno.
That's right.
And the Patriots, if they lose this game, Bill, they would fall all the way down to number four.
No.
Potentially. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, the Patriots a couple weeks ago seemed like a no-brainer, probably going to be the two seed, because, you know, you'd have the Broncos or Chiefs as one of the two, and the Patriots be right there. If they lose this game, they got some digging to do, to dig out of a hole, because they're going to be fighting for their playoff lives down the stretch. So,
well, not necessarily their playoff lives, but their playoff seedings.
Seeding.
Right.
Dude,
right.
Patriot fans want the bye. Trust me. You want the bye, and the bye is in serious doubt if you lose this game. No?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, it's interesting how I think a few weeks ago we looked at this game and we thought, you know, it was going to be just a great game, but both teams are probably going to be, you know, the one and two seeds. Not so much anymore. Mm. I thought it was very interesting. Peter King brought it up in the last segment. Peyton Manning, coming into last week's game, it was all about his ankle, right?
Right.
And the tape job on his ankle. He didn't get touched in that game.
Nope, not once. That was against one of the best defenses in the league.
Exactly. Peter counted it 40 dropbacks, and he got pressured three times. I mean, his jersey was completely clean.
Yeah.
It can't happen this week. The Patriots have got to figure out a way to get pressure on him. You cannot give him all day to throw back there. I think that part of the reason why he got, was protected so well is I think they did a lot of quick passes.
Yep.
Last week, they weren't throwing a lot of deep balls. And maybe that'll be the case this week as well. But still, you got to figure out some way to pressure him. If the Chiefs can't get pressure on him, Patriots might have issues with that too. And that does not bode well for the Pats at all.
Let's look at some of the historical stats here between Peyton and Brady when they take the field against each other. This is the 14th matchup 7 of the last 13 games, Todd, have been decided by a touchdown or less when these when Peyton and Brady are you know playing against each other. So that, I thought that was pretty impressive. That's typically, at least half the time, a very close game.
Yeah, that's not surprising. Usually they're you know pretty close games. Brady has won, what, 9 of the previous 13 games? 9-4?
Yes, that is correct.
6-2 in Gillette?
That's what's impressive to
me. In New England, yep.
Right.
6-2 at home. Wow.
Peyton Manning during these 13 games has 27 touchdowns, 19 interceptions. Boy, does Belichick really know how to draw up a defense to stop Peyton Manning. 19 interceptions in 13 games. Tom Brady, on the other hand, 23 touchdowns, 4 less than Peyton, but he has 7 less interceptions. He only has 12 INTs in these matchups, most of which were against the Colts.
Yeah, interesting, because if you kind of break that down, again, Peter brought up a good point in the last segment about how it's really more, it's a lot more than just the quarterbacks that are determining these games when these two teams play. I mean,
yeah.
23 touchdowns in 13 games, that's nothing special.
No, it's not.
Do you know what I mean? It's not like that he's throwing 3 touchdowns a game. Now, we might see that this week.
I hope right? so.
Yeah. But it's usually the X factor, which is why I was asking him, you know, who's going to step up? What's the key matchup? And he thinks it's Aqib Talib, maybe Shane Vereen. And I agree with him. I mean, Aqib Talib is huge, huge in this game. Obviously, the health of Wes Welker is going to be huge in this game as well. I know, Bill, you think he's going to play. I think Peter thinks he's going to play as well.
Yeah.
You know, but how effective will he be? Is he going to be, you know, the same old Wes Welker, or is he going to be somewhat hindered by it? We'll have to wait and see.
Better game, better performance this weekend, Danny Amendola or Wes Welker?
Oh.
I'm putting you on the spot here. Kevin, I want your opinion, too.
What are you talking
Who
about?
Who will have the better game? More receptions, more yards, maybe scores a touchdown.
Wes Welker.
You think Welker has a better game than Amendola?
Yeah, I'd put all my monies on Wes Welker.
And what about you, Todd? What do you think?
Yeah, he's coming back. Yeah, I'd go Wes Welker.
I think he's going to be
Not
angry.
Me.
And
I don't think so, boys. I think Amendola is going to outperform him.
Okay.
Simply for the fact that I think Brady has more weapons than I think Manning has more weapons than Brady does. Okay. That's one of the reasons. But another reason is I think Coach Belichick, you know, may have dropped a couple hints to Danny Amendola this weekend, reminding him that that he replaced Wes Welker and what he meant to that team. And I think Amendola might be just as motivated to prove to Patriot fans that he, you know, is a good replacement for Welker, as Welker is to prove to Patriots why they miss him so much.
We'll see. I'm wondering what pregame music Kevin has loaded up for this weekend.
What do you got, Kev?
I can't reveal that yet.
Okay.
It's a secret?
I like it.
Well,
I like the secret. That's
I mean,
cool.
I can't just be going to tell everybody what we're going to do. We got a lot of cool things in store, I'll put it that way.
Have I had any influence over what you're doing this weekend?
Slightly in the pregame.
Okay. Hey, I take full credit for that. I tell
also,
people all the time.
I will also tease, and more importantly, that this is the Patriots week where we celebrate Salute to Service.
Okay, very nice.
So there's going to be a lot of really cool stuff happening
awesome.
At the stadium. So get in your seats early.
Get in the seats early. A lot of pregame festivities, according to Kevin Collins.
That'll be cool.
Yeah.
I'll never forget... what game was I at? I was at a game when the Apache helicopters came flying over the stadium. And low. I mean, like, so low to the stadium. It was. They came out of nowhere. You couldn't hear them coming. And suddenly they were just there.
And it's like a thumping. It's like...
It was awesome. It was so cool.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so, hey, you know, Bill, it's... We blasted the primetime scheduling the first, what, 9 weeks of the year? 9, 10 weeks?
They're finally getting it right.
They're getting it right, and they're getting multiple games right. It's not just like one out of three, you know, Thursday, Sunday, Monday.
Well, keep in mind, the flex schedule does help out a lot for Sunday night.
Yeah, well, the Sunday night hasn't – you're exactly correct, but the Sunday night hasn't been the problem all year. It's been the Monday and the Thursday.
Yeah, that's very true.
And this week, I tell you, I think tonight's game is – it's okay. It's not terrible because I think there's a lot riding on it in the NFC with the Saints and the Falcons. And then Monday night, you know, the Niners in Washington, there's a lot riding on that for the Niners. Are they falling apart, Bill? I mean, is it possible the Niners are going to fall out of playoff you know, out of their playoff spot.
I'll tell you what, we've been asking players, pleading with players to step it up for fantasy purposes. San Francisco 49ers have to step it up this weekend. If they can't beat the Washington Redskins, I'm telling you, it's going to be bad news bears for them down the last month of the season.
Because I totally agree.
They had the playoffs, the wild card. I'm not saying that they're going to catch up with the Seattle Seahawks. They had a wild card spot pretty much locked up. But then a couple losses here and there. You lose to the Panthers. You lose to the Saints. And all of a sudden you drop the last two and you're on the road again against a Washington Redskins team that has been getting blasted in the media all week. And RG3 is going to be extra motivated to show that he has that leadership capability. I don't know. If they lose three straight games, it's going to be tough for them to really hold on to that last wild card spot. Let's talk about the playoff standings a little bit, because I think people are a little bit misguided when it comes to the 49ers. They're only 6-4, Todd. There's a lot of 6-4, a lot of 5-5 teams that can really snatch that final wild card spot in the NFC away from San Fran.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that Monday night game is huge. San Fran, their last two games, they played the Red Hot Panthers and the Always Good Saints, and they lost to both in close games. So it's not like they're getting crushed.
Yeah, a loss is a loss, and you know what? They were beating up on some really bad teams.
Yep,
the Texans come to mind.
Rams, Texans, Cardinals, Titans, and Jags.
There you go.
And they scored more than 30 points in every game and gave up, you know, nothing. I mean, they were beating teams by 3 or 4 touchdowns, but. You know, they lost to Carolina, good team. Lost to the Saints, good team. Lost to Seattle, good team. Lost to the Colts, good team. The only good quality win they have was when they beat the Packers in the opening weekend of the season with Aaron Rodgers. That's it.
Right, and that was Colin Kaepernick's only good performance of the year, too.
Pretty much. Yeah, you're pretty much right. So, you know, I think that, once again, the NFL, in my view, is delivering some games with some great importance, and that's good to see, man.
Yeah, it certainly is. Right now in the NFC, the standings are as follows. Seattle Seahawks, number one, they're 10-1 with a bye. I don't think, you know, they're pretty much a lock to win the NFC West. New Orleans Saints, 8-2. They're playing the Falcons tonight. They're leading the NFC South right now, but I'll tell you who might catch up to them in a second. Detroit Lions, 6-4, leading the NFC North. They're playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this weekend. Philadelphia Eagles are on a bye, which is good news because they're 6-5, and the Giants and the Cowboys are playing against each other, so the Eagles will still stay in the NFC East lead.
Not if Dallas wins.
Oh, right, not if Dallas wins.
If Dallas wins, they're both 6-5. Dallas has the tiebreaker.
There you go. Okay. And then the Panthers, they may be able to catch up with the Saints. You said that the Saints have a pretty tough road ahead. They play the Panthers twice. Carolina 7-3, coming off a big win against the Patriots, regardless of the call on the last play of the game or the lack of call on the last play of the game. The Panthers are still hot. They're playing well. And their defense, I think, Kevin, you can admit watching that game against Brady, their defense is really, really good.
Yeah, it's legit.
Very legit. Probably.
Give it some props.
I would say top three in the league.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with you.
Seahawks, Panthers, Chiefs. Not necessarily in that order, but that's who's in the top three.
Bill, in the five games previous to the Patriots game, okay?
Yeah.
This is what they gave up points-wise. 10, 15, 13, 10, 9.
Well, it's very impressive.
They're red hot. They get Miami, Tampa Bay, Jets, and Falcons. Those are four games they should win, and then they get the Saints twice.
Miami, Tampa Bay, Jets, and Falcons. Yeah, those are all four wins right there.
Jets are at home. And, you know, you never know what you're going to get with the Jets, but you would think at home probably be easier for the Panthers to win that. And then they got the games with the Saints. So Panthers are, I mean, unless they just fall apart somehow, which I don't see happening, I think they're in the playoffs, baby. It's just a matter of are they going to be the 2 seed or the 5.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I'm excited to see how the NFC South kind of shakes out.
You know what's funny, Bill? If you really think about this, and we haven't gotten to the AFC yet, but there's two really good teams, obviously, in the AFC West.
Right.
Chiefs and Broncos. There's two really good teams with the Saints and the Panthers in the same division.
Right.
the whoever doesn't win those divisions is going to be the 5 seed.
So in the wild card, right?
In the wild card. So you, if you're a team, you do not want to be. You don't want to get in the 4 hole in either conference. You do not want to be in the 4 hole. You'll be hosting a game in the wild card, but you'll be hosting a really, really good team, basically a superior team.
I see what you're saying. So yeah. If the Panthers, let's say the Panthers are the wild card, and they would be playing the winner of, or the NFC East winner.
Well, it could be the East, it could be the North, you know, it'll be the Lions, the Eagles, the Bears, the Cowboys, or maybe even the Giants. You don't want to be in the 4 spot, man, I'm telling you. And in the AFC, hey, if the Patriots lose a game here or there, Bill, they could wind up in the 4 spot. They could wind up, it wouldn't be crazy, it wouldn't be out of the question, Bill, that the Patriots host the Broncos on wild card weekend. It could easily happen.
You're right, because you look at the Bengals' record, they're tied right now. They're 7-4, but they have a bye this weekend. And they have the head-to-head win over the Patriots.
If the Patriots lose this week, the Bengals move ahead of the Patriots.
Right. Now the Patriots are all of a sudden in the 4th spot. Let's say the Chiefs, who play the Broncos, let's say the Broncos lose against the Chiefs at the end of the year. So now the Chiefs would be the number 1 seed. You're right, Todd. It could be the Broncos and the Patriots opening weekend of the playoffs. That would be such a tragedy, in my opinion. Because I want nothing more than to see Tom Brady and Peyton Manning again in the AFC Championship. Not to open up the playoffs.
Yeah, I know, man. But I think that the key here is the way that this is shaking out, the way the divisions are aligned, and the strengths of the divisions. Whoever is second place in the NFC South, Panthers or Saints, whoever's second place in the AFC West, you know, they're going to be a 5 seed. And they're going to be really dangerous in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So why don't we continue to close out the NFC kind of playoff picture, Bill? You know, you said the Niners are the 6th seed right now, but they're kind of on treading in dangerous territory here. They have the Redskins on Monday night, but there's a lot of teams right nipping on their heels on the bubble. You got Arizona at 6-4. Oh. They play the Colts this week. The Bears are 6-4. They've got the Rams this week. Cowboys are 5-5. They're playing the Giants this week, and the Packers are 5-5. Against the Vikings.
To me, the Cardinals and the Packers are not going to be a contender for much longer. I think the NFC East is still wide open. Cowboys, Eagles have the lead right now. We'll see what happens there. And then in the NFC North, things can shake up a lot. Lions and the Bears pretty much with the same record, but the Lions have the tiebreaker. We'll see how that division shakes out. It should get interesting down the stretch.
Let's move over to the AFC, Bill.
Yeah.
All right? We talked about it. Denver, with their win last week, moves into the 1 spot.
That's right.
9-1. Obviously, have the Patriots this week. The Colts, despite getting – this Colts are a weird team, Bill.
Hey, the Colts got to step it up too, Todd. I mean, two of their last 3 games, they win in the second half against the Texans and the Titans, and then they lose to the Rams at home. You know, we're talking about the Patriots falling to the number 4 seed. I wouldn't be surprised if Denver finishes 1, Patriots finish 2, because I don't think the Colts can hang on to a better record than the Pats.
Well, let's look at their schedule, okay?
Yeah.
Colts.
What are they, 7-3 right now?
7-3. Ready?
Okay, yeah.
Win-loss. Let's play the win-loss game. Arizona.
Win. This weekend, that's a win.
8-3. Titans at home.
Win.
9-3. At Bengals.
Loss.
9-4. Houston at home.
Win.
10-4. At Kansas City.
Loss.
And then Jacksonville.
Win.
So that's 11-5.
Okay. 11-5. I think the Pats finish with a better record.
Okay. So okay. Well, that's what they're gunning for then. The Pats need to, I think right now the Colts hold the tiebreaker over the Pats. That could change. I think it's conference record. It's too early to get into all that right now. But right now, the Colts actually hold the tiebreaker with the Patriots. That could easily change.
Well, what's the Patriots going to finish with?
What are they going to finish with?
Yeah.
What, win-loss?
Yeah.
You want to do that right now?
They're 7-3.
Yeah? Well, are they going to make our predictions this week? For this week?
Are they going to...
Usually we save our predictions to the end. But if you want to do it now, we can do it now.
And we'll save them to the end, so let's skip this game. They're going to beat Houston. Oh. They beat the Browns. They beat the Dolphins. They beat the they lose. That's a tough game against the Ravens. And then they play Buffalo. They'll finish with a better record than the Colts. I don't think the Pats have to.
They'll lose one game here on out.
Maybe two.
Maybe two, and they have the same record as the Colts.
Why? I thought we gave the Colts three losses.
No.
Oh, two losses.
11-5.
Well, then you know what? The Pats need some help. Or they can't afford to lose this weekend, or they can't afford to lose. I don't think, the Ravens in December, I don't think they'll be much of a contender.
Right. Well, right now it's early, but again, we don't have a show next Thursday, right? So we're kind of doing this, and we won't be doing this again until like week 14. That's why we're having this little exercise.
Right.
The Patriots are in the 3 spot. The Bengals are in the 4 spot. Chiefs are 5th, and the Jets are 6th. If the playoffs started today, Bill, wild card weekend, you'd have the Patriots hosting the Jets, and you'd have the Bengals hosting the Chiefs.
Right, okay.
Please get the Jets out of there.
Get the Jets out. Can't be making the playoffs. I'm telling you, I don't know. I'm going to take some incriminating photos of Geno Smith or have Rex Ryan. I'm going to set him up with something. I will do whatever I can to make sure that the Jets are not only distracted, but they're not in the playoffs. Okay. I'll do something. I'll send, you know, women to Geno Smith's house. I'll make sure that Rex Ryan knows about a shoe convention that's in town. I don't know. I'll figure something out.
Here are the teams on the bubble in the AFC. All right? Oh, so if you don't want the Jets in there.
They're pathetic.
Jets are 5-5, all right?
Oh,
Dolphins
God.
Are 5-5.
Terrible.
Raiders are 4-6. Titans are 4-6.
It's just so gross.
Steelers and Ravens are 4-6.
Oh my God! Well, I think it's the Steelers.
I agree.
I think they're Steelers. The ones that step it up.
Yeah, and it's not going to take much. I mean, I think 8-8, 9-7 will get you in.
And hopefully,
9-7 will definitely get you in.
And hopefully, the Jets are more like 6-10 or 7-9, and the Steelers will be 9-7. Because if it's close, and if it's the last weekend, I can't deal with those annoying Jet fans that are going to be saying we're making the playoffs and watch out, can't wait, all that kind of nonsense garbage.
Let's play, before we go to break here, Bill.
Yeah.
Let's play win-loss with the Jets.
Okay.
All right. They're 5-5. This week at Baltimore.
All right. So, every week so far, they've been rotating wins and losses. Win-loss, win-loss,
yes.
Win-loss.
And they're on the win. They're on a win now.
No, they're on a loss.
But I'm saying the next game should be a win if they continue
right,
the pattern.
Right, but I think the streak ends. I think they lose this weekend.
You better hope so, because their next game is 2 home games, Miami and Oakland.
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be surprised if they lose both of those games, Todd.
All right, 5-8?
Well, let's give them one of those wins. Give them the win against
6-7.
Right.
At Carolina.
That's a loss.
6-8. Cleveland at home.
I'll give them the win there.
7-8 at Miami.
That's a loss. I'm gonna, they have to. Miami has to. Yeah, Miami has to win both.
I'm telling you,
games.
Bill, that's not a hard schedule. That
yeah,
is pretty
not,
favorable. Six
not
teams.
Against, not against the Raiders, the Dolphins, and
I'm
the Browns.
I'm just saying it. We've been looking at the Saints, and the Saints have to play, Seattle and Carolina twice. I mean, they got like 3 really really hard games left, and. You're looking at all around. This is a pretty favorable schedule for the Jets.
Yeah.
I mean, they could win all, but, I mean, they could win all these games except for the Carolina game. I can't see them winning that.
All right, so that's a little bit of an NFL playoff breakdown.
No Jets. Get the Jets out of here.
Get the Jets out. Get Please. The Jets out. We don't want them. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. We got Michael in Qatar on the line. Hey, Mike, you're making a long-distance call here. What do you got, Vonage or something? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm on a Google Talk. So.
Oh, Google Talk. Excellent. All right, how can we help you today?
I have a question for fantasy football.
Excellent.
I'm in a bit of a pickle in terms of which wide receiver to put in. I need 2 wide receiver and a flex.
Okay.
I have Torrey Smith, McKee, Colston, Josh Brown, T.Y. Hilton, and Jordy Nelson. I need 3 of them. And it's non-PPR standard scoring.
All right. I heard Colston. I heard Brown. I didn't catch which Brown it is.
Josh Brown.
Josh Brown? I'm not familiar.
Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon from the Browns. Okay, that's why I was a little confused. Colston, Josh Gordon, T.Y. Hilton. Who was the last one?
Jordy Nelson and Torrey Smith.
Oh, Jordy Nelson and Torrey Smith. Okay, I'm sorry. I have a little hard time hearing. Torrey Smith, Marquise Colston, I like. And then I like Josh Gordon.
Yeah, I was leaning towards him just because of the matchup against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right. Yeah, Steelers' defense is awful. They're on a terrible run right now. You know, Jordy Nelson with Scott Tolzien at quarterback. It's a decent matchup there, too, but not with the quarterback that he has there. He's been obviously slowed down quite a bit.
I mean, do I tell him to sit a guy like Jordy Nelson? I don't know if I can do that. It's in the
dome.
Well, maybe I might be taking that back. I might go Jordy Nelson, Torrey Smith, and Marquise Colston. I'm going to take it back. Bench Gordon, put in Nelson. I can't tell you to bench a guy like Nelson. He gets it done too much, regardless of his quarterback.
Even if he doesn't have Aaron Rodgers.
That's correct.
Okay. All right, well, you're the truth, so who am I to say?
The truth, that's right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mike, and thanks for listening all the way from Qatar, Todd, which I just looked up on my maps because, you know, I'm geographically challenged, and it looks like it's a very nice spot. It's, like, got some kind of ocean, maybe some kind of what is this here? Is this the Indian Ocean that kind of makes its way up into that area of the Middle East? I think it is. Must be nice there in Qatar. Probably very warm.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Indian Ocean, which I heard here is beautiful.
Yeah.
So good for him checking out American football all the way out in the Middle East.
I love it.
Appreciate that.
You know, it's hopefully that little 2-minute phone call didn't cost him, you know, a fortune.
I mean, that's why I was trying to ask him. How does he make a call like that?
Well,
I would imagine it's expensive.
Through the magic of the internet, he was able to get it done.
Yeah. Thank
all in the name of fantasy football, Bill.
Can you imagine that?
Bringing the world together with fantasy football. That's what we do here.
That's exactly right, Todd. That's exactly right. We do have to take a quick break here on Football Nation. Special guest Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com. Join us in the next segment. And plus more of your emails and telephone calls coming up next here on Patriots.com Radio.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Here's a dose of fantasy football from ffchamps.com.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation, Patriots.com radio. We have some time before our good friend Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com is going to join us. So I think we should jump into some emails, Todd. WebRadio@Patriots.com is how you can ask us your fantasy football questions. Do you have the first one up for today?
Sure,
I know Kevin sent us a bunch of them.
C-Dog chimes in, Bill.
All right, C-Dog, what's up?
Hello, gentlemen, including Kevin.
Wow.
I need help with my quarterback. 12-team PPR. He has RG3. Here's what he writes, Bill. I have RG3, but he is going up against the 49ers. I'm not sure how many junk points I can count on from RG3 this week. The Redskins are a mess. They all need to ice down.
Ice down?
No, he means ice up.
Ice up, son.
Yeah, you got that one wrong.
Yeah.
My options are limited. I picked up Carson Palmer. I'm a little nervous to start him. My other options are Glennon, Jason Campbell, Kellen Clemens. What do I do? Do I go with RG3? Who do I start this week? Help me, FF Champs. You are my only hope.
Let's not get cute here. You go with RG3. I mean, Jason Campbell? Is that really? Kellen
no.
Clemens?
I think it really comes down to, does he put in Palmer or not? That's really weird.
No, he goes with RG3.
I agree with you there.
Yeah.
All right, next one.
Ice up, son.
Ice up, not ice down.
That's right.
Maybe that's your problem. Maybe they've been icing down. They need to ice up.
Can't ice down when you're trying to ice up.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Chris asks another question here. I need some help with my fantasy lineup. Who do I start at quarterback, Breeze or Romo?
That's an interesting one to me. Breeze Thursday night against the Falcons. We're expecting the Saints to just roll all over Atlanta. Tony Romo, very windy and cold day in the Meadowlands versus the Giants. The last time those two teams played, it was a high-scoring affair. Boy, oh boy, I'm going to go with Breeze. Breeze on Thursday night. The Falcons defense, I mean, they haven't showed me anything in weeks. Geno Smith carved them up. So I'm going to go with Drew Brees here.
Yeah, I agree. Pick okay. Two wide receivers here, Bill. And keep in mind, we have some flexes to get to as well.
Love the flex.
Dez Bryant is in. How about Jordy Nelson, Amendola, Torrey Smith, Stills, Fitzgerald?
It's a non-PPR, so he only needs two of these wide receivers, Bryant and Jordy.
Okay. Running back, pick two. Ridley, Vereen, Ben Tate. That's really all he's got.
I mean, he's got Danny Woodhead, but it's a non-PPR.
Non-PPR.
I'm going to go with Ridley and Ben Tate.
Okay, now we need to find two flexes out of this mess.
Boy.
So, do you put in Vereen, Woodhead, Fitz, Torrey Smith, Amendola?
Well, I do like Torrey Smith, so I believe he belongs in one of those flex spots. You know, Danny Amendola, it's a non-PPR league. Boy, I don't like the rest of his running backs. I would love Shane Vereen, but if it was
you said Amendola's going to outproduce Wes Welker, so you know if he's going to outproduce Wes Welker, wouldn't he be worth putting in?
Yeah, you got me there, Todd. You got me there. All right, put in Amendola.
There you go. Tight end Jordan Reed or Garrett Graham.
Well, we don't know if Jordan Reed's going to play. My guess is he does. If you want to play it safe, then go with Garrett Graham, who is doing great. I mean, a great game last week. He's playing against the Jags this weekend.
Jordan Reed's playing on Monday night, so I agree with you. You're not going to know.
And he has a concussion.
Yeah, you're not going to have any idea if Jordan Reed's going to play. You got to play it safe here. Unless we get some definitive word on Jordan Reed in the next 48 hours, you got to put in Garrett Graham.
I'm with you.
Defense, this is a no-brainer in my opinion. Texans against the Jags or Patriots against the Broncos?
Texans.
Exactly. Okay. We have time for another one. James. Hey, guys. I don't know who I should start out of the four running backs I have. I need three to start, non-PPR. I have Moreno, Lacy, Andre Brown, and Alfred Morris.
Wow.
Who start? Eliminate one of those four, basically.
Eliminate one, huh? Well, I like Moreno. I like Andre Brown. Eddie Lacy against the Vikings.
Or Alf against
the Niners. I'm going to go with Lacy. Leave Alf on the bench. Wow. It's tough. I have Andre Brown and Alfred Morris ranked 9 and 10, Todd. Neck and neck.
Where do you have Lacy ranked?
I have Lacy ranked 4 against the Vikings. Give me a break.
Yeah.
I want that matchup all day.
One more question. He has to pick one of these wide receivers, non-PPR. One of these wide receivers. Pierre Garçon, Vincent Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey.
Garçon, Jackson, or Jeffrey. Is it a PPR? I'm sorry?
Non.
Non-PPR? I'm going to go with Vincent Jackson. V-Jax. Okay. V-Jax and Calvin Johnson in that matchup. I like it.
Two of
this year's best receivers.
All right. The next email we got, Bill, it's a book.
What do we think about books, Todd? I mean, we got to give this guy ice down, ice up, bro. Ice up,
yeah.
Son.
Do you want me to read through it?
I mean, you can maybe get to the first
chapter. Want me to read the first chapter of this one? He doesn't know about our 15-word limit. His emails.
Listen, I mean, does he have a question here? What's his question? Let's get to his question.
I don't know. You want to handle this one? Because I don't want to read through this one.
He's a senior special project attorney. Of course, he's a lawyer. No wonder why this email so long. I might get sued just for calling him out.
Well, don't say his name then.
I'm not gonna. I don't see a question here. I see the standings. I see he asked if we remember his email from weeks ago. No, we don't. I'm sorry. I just don't see. I'm trying to look for a question mark. Can I get some punctuation? All right. Here it is. I'm wondering if Donald Brown is better option despite the tougher matchup. What about Verena Ridley? All right. So basically, he needs help with his running backs. Right now, he's got Ben Tate, Andre Brown, and Bobby Rainey in the lineup. He can put in Shane Vereen, DeMarco Murray, or Stephen Ridley or Donald Brown. I don't see any kind of scoring information. I'm telling you, this guy told us what he ate for breakfast in third grade, but he didn't tell us what kind of scoring he's in.
You know what I love? At the end, he puts his league standings in there so we can see the standings of all these teams we have known.
And he's in last.
He is in last. But I love how he says, you know,
and it's only an eight-team league.
He plays Merkins next week and Koski in the final week, Bill, just so you know. He's got to go up against Koski. Tough matchup.
Koski's tough matchup, 6-5.
He's got Merkins and Koski left. Oh,
Merkins is going to murk him.
Did we help him? Did we not help him?
Listen, my attorney friend, you got to cut it down a little bit. I mean, this is a you sent us three different photos, three paragraphs. I don't know. The only thing I can get out of all of this is what running back to play. Here's how simple it is. Pick three of these five running backs. Donald Brown, Ben Tate, Stephen Ridley, Shane Vereen, or Andre Brown. That could have been so simple. Instead, we got this whole thing. Like, I got a headache now. I know Kerry Burns about to call in. Boy, what a mess. I'll tell you. What a mess.
Well, let's have someone clean up this mess. Bill, can we go to our good friend from coldhardfootballfacts.com, Kerry Byrne?
Andre Brown, Ben Tate, and Stephen Ridley is my answer. I don't want to hear from him again. That's it. That's it. All right? I don't want anyone to clean up that mess. Let's get Kerry Byrne on the line. Yes, coldhardfootballfacts.com. Kerry, what's going on, my man? You're going to have to turn my mood around because I'm a little bit depressed after reading that last email.
Which email? I didn't hear it.
Don't worry about it. I don't want to get into it. Please. I'm trying to forget about it already.
Well, you know what? Know what makes me feel good, Bill?
What?
The Cold Hard Football Facts Insider Portfolio of Picks. We offer four different portfolios of picks each week.
Yeah.
All posted winning records last week. Coming on strong. We get some great stats, some great data, and winning picks, and that's always nice. And it always makes me happy this time of year, Bill. And if I'm happy, I know you're happy.
That's certainly true, Kerry. I mean, you're like my girlfriend. Happy Kerry equals a happy Billy.
I don't know. You know what? You just ruined my mood now. So how we doing, man?
We're doing all right. I mean, we had Peter King on earlier in the show, and we were talking about the great matchup between the Patriots and the Broncos this weekend. And Todd, I believe you brought up, you know, the Brady and Peyton and rivalry and the battle. 14 times we've seen these two quarterbacks go at it. Pretty remarkable.
Hey, listen, let me tell you guys, I hope we appreciate this. We dubbed it, I think it was back 2008 or so, but it had Cold Hard Football Facts and the Football Nation. We've called this the greatest quarterback rivalry ever, period, guys. And it's not even a debate anymore. There has never been a rivalry between two great quarterbacks who were legit Hall of Famers in the middle of their careers, who won championships, who were Super Bowl MVPs, who put up record-breaking numbers, and who met every year in pivotal games that,
exactly.
that directly impacted the Super Bowl picture. It's never happened before, ever, guys. This is it.
Totally agree. Kerry, I tried to come up with a list. I totally agree with you. This is a very, very special matchup. Here was my list. Here's the best I could do. Kind of just going back to the mid-70s. I didn't go back to Bart Starr and Unitas and those guys. Here are the other great rivalries, and I don't think any of them can hold a candle to what we're dealing with Manning and Brady. I came up with Troy Aikman and Steve Young.
Yep.
Bradshaw and Staubach, but you can punch a lot of holes in that one. Kenny Stabler and Bradshaw. And I kind of threw in an underrated one with Jim Kelly and Dan Marino because they were in the same division. They played each other a lot.
Yep.
But you can punch holes in all those. None of them are close. I mean, Aikman and Young, it was great for 3 years.
Yep.
But then it was gone. You know?
Yep.
Bradshaw and Staubach, how many times did they play? Two, three times total?
Huge games. I'll tell you right here. We wrote about this rivalry, why it fails to live up to Brady Manning. Bradshaw Staubach was elevated mostly by the hype of the two Super Bowl games against each other, playing in different conferences. Staubach and Bradshaw really, really squared off in the regular season. And both were surrounded by tons of Hall of Fame talent. which means they didn't quite lord over the image of their teams the way Brady and Manning do today.
Right.
So that's through, and we've gone all the way back. We've gone all the way back to the 40s, and there's no rivalry like this. I mean, again, the key is record-breaking numbers, consistent winners, Hall of Fame talent, Super Bowl champions, who year after year battle each other in the regular season. It's never happened, guys. This has never happened. So I hope fans out there appreciate and revel in the fact whoever wins, and I know obviously most of the listeners at Patriots.com obviously want the Patriots to win, but whoever wins, you're watching history unfold, guys. 40 years from now, you're going to tell some kid, oh, I remember when Peyton Manning and Tom Brady played every year. This is history unfolding for football fans, and appreciate it.
Bigger rivalry. I'm going to do a cross sport here,
right,
but I don't care. Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, or Tom Brady and Peyton Manning?
You know what? I mean, I think that's a very good comparison. Okay, let's talk about it. They won 8 championships, right?
Yep.
Magic won 5, I believe 5.
Larry 3.
Bird won 3. I think
yep.
They faced each other, if I remember correctly, 4 or 5 times in the championship game.
Yeah, in the championship, and it was a series.
Yeah,
obviously they played more because it was a series.
Yeah, but I meant in terms of championship, yeah, in total
right.
series. Yep.
Right.
You know what? That's a very good one, Bill. That's a very good one. I think the difference is it's a difference in the sports, right? Yeah, I mean, basketball plays, what, 82 games per year?
Yep.
And so clearly, I think what they played back then into conference with 2 or 3 games per year. I don't know the exact number. So they clearly faced in championship play consistently. So I think that's a very legit comparison. The one difference is that in football, when these guys have played, remember, guys, in the winner of the regular season series between Manning and Brady in 01, in 03, in 04, in 06, and 07 and 2011 went to the Super Bowl.
Wow, okay.
Not only that, got home field advantage over the other to help propel them to the Super Bowl. So that's how critical. It's almost like college football, right? When Alabama beats LSU, that it doesn't guarantee, as we saw a couple years ago, right, Todd? It doesn't
right,
guarantee
right.
that, like, LSU beat Alabama a couple years ago, and Alabama, I believe, went to the national title game. But
yeah.
That's the exception, and it's rare in pro football that when you beat your rival in the regular season, that almost propels you to the national title, to the Super Bowl in this case.
Yeah, that's
I think
nuts.
It's very historic at every level. And I love your analogy, Bill. I think it's a great one. I can't argue it. But other than to say it's a different sport, but I think that's a totally legit one. I can't think of another off the top of my head.
I really can't think of another rivalry in any sport that is similar. You know, Brady and Manning, number one, and then Bird and Magic, number two. I mean, in baseball, like, what are you going to just...
There are no rivalries like that in baseball.
Right, really right. Not. You know, it's not a pitcher's duel.
Yep.
There's
I mean,
no rivalry like
maybe,
that.
I mean, you know, being here in Boston, right, the Bruins and the Philadelphia Flyers in the 70s, the Bobby Clark Flyers and the Bobby Orr Bruins.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's, you know, the hockey's not that big outside this region. I can't think of another one, Bill. I think you nailed it. I think that's
I agree.
Sat down over a couple of drinks some night. We come up with a couple more, and maybe the listeners have other ideas.
That would be good to hear.
That could appear, but we're talking a very short list, Bill. A very, very short list. And all I can say is enjoy it, fans, because this is history.
Go ahead, Todd. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to change the subject. Do you have more on this?
I was just going to say, if you're a fan of the game, it doesn't matter if you're – obviously, we're on Patriots.com radio. So most everyone listening
yep.
is a Patriots fan, which is fine. But we're just letting the Patriot fans know that the NFL fans of the – you know, the diehard NFL football fans, we really look forward to this matchup, not necessarily because we want to see who wins, just because you said it, Kerry. It is NFL history.
Yeah, and listen, we love – the thing that separates you know, when people say, you know, for example, Boston's a baseball town, right, which is ridiculous. There are no baseball towns in America. We're a football country, okay?
Okay.
People and fans in Boston don't sit down and watch the Colts play the Broncos, you know, whatever baseball team you want to play. You know, the Pittsburgh Pirates play the Cincinnati Reds
right,
on a
right.
Monday night. But they will watch the Steelers play the Bengals.
Right.
Right? It's our sport. It's what we watch. And I know it's an event. It's football. But this is like the ultimate version of that. And just to kind of tie it all in together, one of our great contributors at Cold Hard Football Facts Insider, Sean O'Neill, he's our Vegas insider. And what he does is he talks to the wise guys in Vegas each week, and they say this is easily the most popular game in football. And they can tell by how much money comes in.
Right.
You know, that's how they judge it, right? That's the ultimate test, right? Do you, you know, what's the ultimate test of anything? Do people spend their money on it, right? And that's what people, this is what the public is interested in. Two popular teams, two popular players. Still, you know, Brady's had a bit of an off year, guys, but still at the peak of their careers, like either one of these teams can win the Super Bowl. And the winner of this game might have home field advantage over the other in January. So it's pivotal and historic at every level. I love it. I mean, I've actually, Bill, I haven't really, you know, we have our pick out. We've been talking about it. But I've not got excited about it until just now. You've got me excited about it.
That's what I try to do, Kerry. I try to get you excited.
So, Kerry, dive into this game. You know, the Cold Hard Football Facts quality stats. I know you peruse them all day long. What pops out at you? What are the matchups? What are the deficiencies? You know, how do you analyze this game?
Well, a couple of things. Looking at history, okay, the Patriots, Brady's Patriots are 9-4 overall against Peyton Manning's team, against the Colts and Broncos. 8-4-1 against the spread, by the way. So the Patriots have not only beat Peyton Manning, they beat him better than the market anticipated. So I think that's pretty interesting because not a lot of people do that. And I think that speaks to the popularity of Manning. People believe in him, right? But the Patriots have had his number throughout his career. They've won the last two against Peyton Manning. They won last year. The Patriots were up 31-7 in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Ended up winning by 10. But the Patriots dominated that game. With all that said, as we say at Cold Hard Football Facts Insider, each NFL game is a unique statistical event unlike any that has come before or since.
So that's right.
All that's nice, but it doesn't matter in this game. And I think it comes down to a couple things. Is Aqib Talib really going to be healthy? The Patriots' defense is different with him on the field and without him. We saw it last year. We saw it in the AFC title game against the Ravens. We saw it Monday night against the Panthers. When he's not playing, the Patriots' defense is a different defense. They've survived. And I know they had a couple other, you know, Gregory's up. They've had a couple other, you know, a lot of guys going to the secondary. But Talib is the guy. And if he's not ready to rock and roll, that's an issue. That's an issue for this team. And obviously, I don't think we know the full story yet about Wes Welker, whether he's 100% or not. And we called Wes Welker the most impactful receiver in the history of football.
Hmm.
So if he's not playing, that's a problem for the Broncos. So I think a bit of that's going to hinge on that. But with that said, the Patriots can slow down the Broncos. The Patriots are a good but not great defense, but they're certainly better than they were last year when they beat up the Broncos, and obviously the Denver offense is better this year. But I think if I'm a Patriots fan, guys, you know, the Patriots put up 20 points against the Panthers Monday night in Carolina. That's the most points Carolina's given up in a six-game win streak.
Yep.
That's the best defense in football, and they were one bad call perhaps away from tacking on seven more. So I think the Patriots, I don't know if they can run all night with the Broncos, but I think this is going to be a good game that comes down to the wire because the Denver defense is very vulnerable, and we know how good Tom Brady can be.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Bill, what do you think here? You know, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think – what's the over-under in this game, 54?
54.
You think it's going to go way over that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I think it's – yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if both teams get into the upper – 30s,
really?
maybe both teams in the upper 40s.
In the
low 40s. Relax. Everyone relax. Jeez Louise.
Hey, you're the one throwing it out there.
I misspoke. I was saying upper 30s, low 40s. Upper
low
30s,
40s.
Low 40s.
Holy cow.
Low 40s.
I think, you know, I think say somewhere in the ballpark of a 28, 27, you know, 30-28 ball game. That's a lot of points in an NFL game.
Nah, boring. That game's boring.
Boring. Listen to you.
Boring. Brady.
Was the Panthers-Patriots game boring?
No, that game was great.
There was only 44 points scored in that one. That was
but
ball.
You know what? That's Cam Newton and Tom Brady. That's not Peyton Manning and Tom Brady.
I agree. That's fair. But listen, guys, it comes down to this. You know, the Broncos are still on pace to be the highest scoring offense in the history of football. They average 39.8 points per game, 1 point per game better than the record currently held, little history here, by the 1950 LA Rams. So we're talking truly historic. But they've come back to earth a little bit. They've not played a particularly tough schedule. And, you know, people say the Patriots haven't played a particularly tough schedule. But I think the Broncos have, what, one quality win right now? Two? I'm looking it up right now as we speak.
They beat the Chiefs.
You know, they've not beat a lot of great teams, and I think that win over Denver was a good one for them, but it was at home. They still have to beat Kansas City. The Broncos still, if they survive the Patriots, still have to beat the Chiefs to secure a first-round bye. They have a couple tests ahead of them. And, for a team that I'm looking it up right now, for a team that has, they do have two quality wins, that's not, it's not like they've been blowing out great teams, guys. They played three quality opponents. They played seven second-rate teams this year, you know?
All right, so
I'm still not convinced that this is a truly Super Bowl caliber team out of Denver.
Kerry, you said that they're averaging 38 points a game. Well, that means that, you know, they are certainly capable of getting into the low 40s.
No, it's certainly possible, yeah. But I just, if I'm playing the odds, that would be, listen, it could happen. Would I be shocked if it happened, Bill? No. Would I expect it to happen? That's a different story, you know? But, hey, who knows, you know? How many times have we expected two great offenses to go at it, and it ends up a, 17-16 game? It happens. How many times have we saw our defensive struggle, an impending defensive struggle, and each team explodes? I mean, the NFL is a funny game. It doesn't always go how we expect, you know? I mean, it's funny bounces of the ball. This could be, I would love to see a 17-16 ball game.
Are you nuts?
With defenses rising up and holding down these two great quarterbacks. Think of that. I think maybe you're not old enough, Bill, but, defenses playing well is very exciting.
I will riot.
It's very exciting.
If the score is 17-15 or 17-16.
Riot. I would love it. Because you know what? To me, there's nothing more exciting. Let me put it in context of Patriots fans. When the Patriots defense held the Rams in check in Super Bowl 36, the greatest show on turf Rams,
right.
That was thrilling. Every drive, are they going to be able to stop them again? And every drive they did. And the Rams couldn't get until the end of the game. They couldn't get on the board. They couldn't move down to it. That is very exciting. When you're stopping a great offense from converting third and four, six out of seven times, that I find that exciting, Bill. To me, I don't need the point ball in the end zone to be exciting. I think fans will be thrilled by that. Oh, my God, look at these defenses rise up against these great quarterbacks, against these great offenses, and steal the show. I would find that exciting. I don't expect it to happen, but I would find it exciting.
You're off your rocker. Fans want to see Gronk streaking down the field, 75-yard touchdown. Boom. Peyton's now on the field. Throws a screen pass at Demaryius Thomas, 55-yard touchdown.
Boring.
Brady comes back
Boring.
On the field. Gostkowski field
Boring.
Goal. Onside kick. Recovered. Special teams touchdown. Pick six. Scoring, scoring, scoring. That's what the fans want to see.
I think a very close football game is exciting no matter what because, like I said, the Patriots-Panthers was one of the best played ball games all year. Each quarterback was completing passes consistently. They were getting the ball downfield. Defenses were making stops. You didn't need a lot of points to make an exciting ball game. And like I said, I brought up Super Bowl 36. I know I'm going back into the Stone Age, but that was a very exciting low-scoring game.
Kerry, one of the most exciting, most watched college football games in history was 14-10 Penn State over Miami in 1986.
Yep. Do you know who had the final interception for Penn State in that game?
Interception, Giftopoulos.
Pete Giftopoulos. The linebacker out of Penn State. What was that, the 1986?
Yeah, 86 season, yep.
Yeah. So,
But Bill, it was a 14-10 game, and there was a certain beauty to it.
It was Vinny Testaverde in Miami, and they were the greatest unstoppable offense in football, and they couldn't move the ball down the field. Against Penn State, it was a very thrilling, electrifying game. I'm just saying we don't need to talk about football theory. I'm just saying you can have an exciting ball game without 20 touchdowns.
Bill can't see through the fantasy spectrum. I can find the beauty in different types of games. Bill is a one-trick pony.
Hey, guys, can I talk about something we're really excited about at Cold Hard Football Facts Insider?
What do you got?
Well, our intelligence index, this is our measure of how well teams play in situational football.
Right.
This is just killer, guys. We've picked 24 mental mismatches this year, okay? That's when a smart, efficient team plays a dumb, inefficient team. The smart teams are not only 20-4 straight up, they're 14-8 against the spread, two pushes, 64% against the spread, guys, for our mental mismatches at Cold Hard Football Facts Insider. We have three new mental mismatches for this week. I'm going to give you one of them right now. Baltimore giving 3.5 at home versus the Jets. The Jets are one of the dumbest teams in football.
They're damn right.
Back in earth, back to earth. What's that?
I said damn right.
Damn right they are. And they're the only league's dunce to have fared well so far against the spread. They're 6-4 against the spread, 5-5 overall. They're due to come back to earth. Baltimore is not the smartest team, but they're rising up our intelligence index. was for Baltimore to win big, to easily cover. Not only have our mental mismatches won and won consistently and won consistently against the spread, they're blowing out their opponents week after week. So just one reason to become a Cold Hot Football Facts Insider, to check out our mental mismatches based upon our intelligence index. It's really some impressive stuff because we're looking at situational football, which most fans don't look at, which is why right. we're able to beat the market.
Kerry, all the quality stats are great at coldhardfootballfacts.com. That's why we love having you on. Bring such a unique and interesting perspective. We hope that is you enjoy this weekend's game with the Broncos and the Patriots, despite the fact that it'll be somewhere in the upper 30s and low 40s.
It may, but you know what? If it's like 10-9, like the Panthers and 49ers a couple weeks ago, I want to talk about that and tell you how exciting it was. You'll be at the edge of your seat. You'll have the whole seat still, but you won't need it all. You'll just need the edge.
I'll be somewhere in Gillette Stadium area burning couches in pure rage.
All right, gentlemen, you guys have a good night, and I enjoy the games this weekend.
Take care, Kerry. Thanks all for joining right. us today. 10-9 with the Brady and Peyton. Are you kidding me? 10-9. Better be. I'm telling you right now, if at least both of these quarterbacks better have three touchdowns. At least three touchdowns.
Well, we're going to get to our final score predictions here soon, and we can all tell which direction you're going in, Bill.
I'm going high. Vegas is going high. I'm going high.
All right. We need to go to a break here. What do we need to do?
That's Kevin's call. Kev, what do we got?
Let's just finish this thing.
Hey, hey now.
I'm just saying, we probably have more emails, right?
Well, we have a ton of emails.
So let's we got about 25 minutes left. If we take a break, then Todd's going to be speed reading through the rest of them, and then you're going to get cranky because some people probably went longer with their email than other people.
I'm pretty much cranky regardless, but that is a good point.
So let's just please the people and let, people listen to this show because they want to hear your advice. So might as well give the people what they want.
All right, 855-728-7500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500, that is the phone number. Phone line's wide open. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. I am constantly answering advice on Twitter for your fantasy football lineups, at FFChamps. You can follow Todd at CFFGeek. I am at Bill Enright. It's pretty much nonstop with the Twitter because I know a lot of people listen to the show on demand. So if you're not listening live, it's a great way to get in contact with us. Let's jump into these emails, Todd.
All right. The next one is from Sven, Bill.
Oh, okay. Sven in Germany.
Yes, and he always gives us a little German tidbit, and he does in this email as well. We'll get to it in a second.
Okay.
Lineup question. Not sure who to start at running back and flex. At running back, he needs two running backs from this list, Bill. Ben Tate, Stephen Ridley, Le'Veon Bell, Bobby Rainey.
Standard scoring. Ben Tate and Stephen Ridley.
Okay. And then he has to choose from he has a flex to choose from as well. And you can choose from those running backs you didn't select earlier, or Danny Amendola, Harry Douglas, James Jones.
Well, I'm not going to go with Harry Douglas or James Jones. I'm going to leave Bobby Rainey on the bench. It's close between Amendola and Le'Veon Bell. Bell against Cleveland, Amendola in the score fest on Sunday night. I'm going to go with Amendola here.
All right, fun facts from Germany from Sven. Ready?
Okay.
You're allowed to drink alcohol in public. You can even buy beer at McDonald's.
That is awesome. I've only been in a few cities where you're allowed to drink alcohol in public. Vegas, obviously, is one of them. New Orleans. And then Indianapolis, surprisingly. Kevin, remember that? You were allowed to have some beer in the streets of the city during the Super Bowl.
He doesn't remember that.
No, he doesn't. Okay.
Another fun fact from Germany, from Sven, is we don't have censorship on TV or radio. So you can say whatever you want. And you can even show topless ladies on TV if you want. That's why they never understood why the whole Super Bowl Janet Jackson gate thing was a big deal. They didn't understand why it was.
I mean, Germany is just becoming like a must-live destination for me.
Seriously.
150 kind of bread.
Yep.
No speed limit.
Nope.
Drinking in public and boobs on TV.
Yeah.
What more can I want?
Yeah, you're in good shape there. That's where you need to be. Next one is from Nathan from the Southern California.
Why does he Nathan!
Here we go. The obscure movie references. All right.
It's a TV show, and it's not obscure.
Yeah. PPR league, running back, I'm playing Eddie Lacy and Andre Brown. However, should I play Shane Vereen or Alfred Morris in my flex? PPR.
Shane Vereen.
Well, if you think there's going to be, 700 points scored in that Patriots game.
I do.
You got to put Shane Vereen in there.
Yeah.
Tight end, Kobe Fleener or Jordan Reed?
I'm going to go with Kobe Fleener.
Safer play, as we talked about earlier, Jordan Reed concussion. You're not going to know. He's playing Monday night. You're really not going to know probably whether he's going to play or not until it's too late. So you're going to have to decide on Sunday. Lastly, wide receiver, pick one, Amendola, Boykin, Douglas.
It's PPR league. I'm going to go with Amendola.
Okay. Next one is from Josh from Stratford, Connecticut again. He is 9-2, Bill.
Damn.
9-2.
The truth.
First place, standard league. Question on his flex this week. Standard league. He has Shane Vereen in there. But his other options are Terrence Williams, Aaron Dobson, and Shane Vereen. So who would you put in the flex?
Now it becomes a question, who's going to score, Shane Vereen or Aaron Dobson? And I'm still leaning toward Shane Vereen here, regardless of the non-factor for PPR.
Okay. All right. Next email is from Russell in NYC.
The truth.
He writes, yes, I have no life. Thanks for answering all of my tweets and emails.
See, Russell is referring to our earlier show today, Todd. He listens to our afternoon show on footballnation.com, and he also listens to our show here on patriots.com. He can't get enough of fantasy football advice from Todd DeVries and Bill Enright. So I disagree. He has a great life because he gets 4 hours of us every two times a week.
Quick question from Russell. He's looking for some potential sleepers for the playoffs, Bill. With Darius Hayward Bay having bricks for hands.
Yeah, he's not a sleeper.
And obviously useless.
Yes,
and Griff Whalen getting cut. Do you see LeVon Brazil getting an opportunity with the Colts? Could he take advantage of it?
Yeah, I like where his head's at. I like the progressive thinking here. But, LeVon Brazil, not doing it for me, especially in the playoffs. I would never want to rely on a guy that hasn't caught more than 10 passes all season during the most important weeks of fantasy football.
I agree. All right. So, and he says, "Eyes up, sons."
That's the truth.
Yes. Next email is from Keegan in Texas.
Keegs.
Bill and Todd.
How many more emails do we got? Everyone's getting a nickname. So Keegan.
Five, six emails left.
Everyone's getting a nickname. Go on, Keegs. What do you got?
Keegs. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In my league, we have 9 teams, all within 2 games of each other, blah, blah, blah. Big time importance here, Bill. Here's his roster. Well, I'm not going to say his roster. He's asking if he should sit Alfred Morris and put Andre Brown into the running back 2 slot.
Keegs, this one's tough. I have Andre Brown at number 9, Alfred Morris at number 10. I do have faith in the Giants against the Cowboys. I think that is going to be the second highest scoring game of the weekend behind the Broncos and the Patriots. So I would go with Andre Brown over Alfred Morris.
Who would you put in the wide receiver 2 slot? T.Y. Hilton or Larry Fitzgerald?
Is this a PPR league?
Standard scoring.
I'm going to go with Larry Fitzgerald.
Okay. Lastly, where do you think I need to improve before the trade deadline? I feel like I've done pretty well, but I'm only 7-4. Can possibly miss the playoffs. Man, 7-4 could possibly miss the playoffs.
You know, that's tough considering he's in a 12-team league. He has a winning record, only 4 losses on the year. Where can he improve? Well, he's got Brady, who's been playing great at the quarterback position. He's got some dynamic running backs: Jamal Charles, Alfred Morris, Shane Vereen, Le'Veon Bell. I love his wide receivers in Demaryius Thomas, T.Y. Hillen, and Fitzgerald. It looks like he could use some help at tight end. I only see Jordan Reed on the squad right now, and with the concussion, I don't know if he needs to start a tight end. It seems like he doesn't. He has a flex here.
Yeah.
But that would be the only position. Maybe, hey, you know, to be honest with you, Todd, fantasy football playoffs in the last few weeks of the regular season, every point matters. Upgrade on your defense. What are you doing with the Raiders?
He says they're just a fill-in for the week.
Oh, he said that?
Yeah.
Oh, I must have missed that part. All right, Keegs, your squad's solid.
Yeah. The last thing on Keegs, though, is, you know, he has – I'm looking at it now. He has Alfred Morris at running back two, and we said put Andre Brown in there instead.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a flex, and that's where we had Andre Brown. So in the flex, would you put Morris?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Okay. I was the way he worded the email was different than what he did with his roster. So
that's correct. Yeah.
So he's good. He's good.
He's set. He's set. Yeah.
All right. Next one is from another Todd, not me. Different one. I don't ask questions to you, Bill.
What's his nickname going to be? I mean, I don't really have a nickname for you, T-O-double-D. I'm just going to call him the other Todd. That's his nickname, the other Todd.
Okay. 1-point PPR league. He's currently starting Chris Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Stephen Ridley, Dez, Victor Cruz, and Gronk.
Wow.
Would you sit any of those guys for Shane Vereen, Roddy White, or Keenan Allen?
Obviously, I'm not sitting anyone for Roddy White. I mean, right. Dez, Cruz, locks of the week.
Yeah, so Allen and Roddy White are out.
It becomes a question of what running back from the Patriots do you have more faith in a PPR format, and my answer to that question is Shane Vereen over Stephen Ridley.
Okay, so take Ridley out, put Vereen in.
That's correct. I just want to compare the, you know, we haven't seen Vereen since week one, but I just want to compare the stats for a second here. Last week in the PPR, Stephen Ridley had, I believe, 11 points, 48 yards, and a touchdown. So that you know, roughly 11 yards, right?
Shane Vereen?
Stephen Ridley.
Ridley, yes, okay.
Now, in a PPR league, Stephen Ridley had 8 catches, 65 yards. That's 14 points. So in the PPR league, Vereen gets the edge, and that's why I'm going to bench Ridley and put in Shane.
Got it. All right, get ready for a nickname here. It's another Mike. And there's very little information, which is good because it's a quick email, but it's bad because you have nothing else to go on for a email.
Fast Mike.
Fast Mike. All right, Fast Mike. Wide receiver, PPR, Bill, PPR. Josh Gordon or T.Y. Hilton?
Gordon.
Question number two, in the flex, Andre Brown, Vereen, or Hilton?
Andre Brown.
Okay, that's PPR. You're going Andre Brown or Vereen?
I am.
Okay. Next one is
100 yards and 2 touchdowns this weekend for Andre Brown.
Okay. Next one is from Dan.
Dan the man, DTM. Okay. That one's easy.
Two quick questions. Is it crazy to play Orange Julius over a struggling Jimmy Graham this week?
Absolutely not, because, you know, Jimmy Graham is one. Julius Thomas is two in terms of the tight end position. Rob Gronkowski coming in hot comes in at number three. Do I believe Jimmy Graham's struggling? I guess the last couple of weeks he hasn't been used that much in their game plan. If you hang on a second, I can look at the last game when he played against the Falcons. It was in week one. He had 4 catches, 45 yards, and a touchdown. But I'll tell you, I love that matchup with the Broncos and the Patriots. I'm starting Julius Thomas this week.
Wow, over Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, I am.
Wow, I can't believe you said that. All right.
The Thursday night game scares me a little bit with Jimmy Graham. And okay. DTM there, Dan the Man, he's right. Jimmy Graham, last 2 weeks, no touchdowns, 59 yards, and 41 yards.
Okay.
All right.
I'm a little surprised by that answer, but okay. Second question, he's a bye week defensive replacement because the Bengals are on bye. Who do you like, Rams, Broncos, Jets?
Well, I don't like the Broncos playing against the Pats. I don't like the Jets playing against the Ravens. I guess the Rams, you know, their defense is pretty good at home, and they're taking on the Bears. So I'd go with the Rams.
Would you take the Texans over the Rams?
No.
Okay, Rams. Answer is Rams. Next one is from Zach in Medford, Mass.
Nickname? I don't have a nickname for Zach.
No?
Zach Attack.
Yeah. Like Zach right. Morris.
Zach Morris, Zach Attack, Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
Saved right, by the hey Bell. Guys. Saved by the Bell in Medford.
Ready for this? I'm going to read this word for word, okay?
Okay.
Hey, guys, great show. Did you
Thank
notice
you.
That Edelman was wide open on the right side of the end zone on the last play the other night?
Truth.
Tom should have realized that the Panthers were going to clog the middle of the field because of Gronk and thrown it to Edelman. No one would have expected it, and we would have walked out with the win.
Step it up, Brady.
Regardless, I think the Pats can win this weekend if they can win the turnover battle and sustain longer drives to keep Peyton off the field, similar to what the Carolina did to the Pats. I think that even with the colder weather, this game is going to be higher scoring as both offenses are clicking right now. Ultimately, I think the Pats will prevail with their home field advantage 37-31.
I love the prediction, high-scoring affair. The only thing that I disagree with here is time of possession might be the most under or overrated stats in the NFL. I mean, a couple weeks ago, I believe it was the Chargers game, they had the ball for like 10 minutes. The Broncos had the ball for 57 seconds, and the Broncos were winning. So I don't get that whole keep Peyton Manning off the field. The only thing that's telling me is you have no faith in your defense, and Brady can Peyton can score in less than a minute anyway. You know, it just takes one play from Demaryius Thomas. And the same thing with Brady. Time of possession is not going to matter in this game. Turnover battle will matter in this game. So we'll see who turns the ball over.
All right, next emailer is from Josh. Now, he emailed us before, Bill, and it was the one that got you very upset because it had all the pictures and the book and the words and all that stuff that you don't like.
Yeah.
So he followed up, and he just wrote, I apologize 1,000 times.
Josh, a.k.a. The Apologist.
There you go. There's the nickname.
Love it.
Speaking of nicknames.
I apologize 1,000 times to you.
Oh, that's perfect.
That was perfect. Where'd you find that?
How'd you get that, Kev?
It's old friend Ted Sarandis. He was an old Boston late-night sports radio legend.
Excellent.
He was gold, I tell you, when he had his station. He was a certified nut.
I love the certified nuts. Do you understand the Ted Nation rule on cockamamie trades?
What?
John, I look like something you give to your kid when you tell him grandma died.
No, that was the actual Ted the teddy bear.
Oh, man.
I was just going to say, that sounds a lot like Peter Griffin, but same voice.
No, but some of these Ted Nation, he had this show called Ted Nation, and it was like the 6 to 10 on EEI when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And he was awesome. Also the voice of the BC men's basketball team.
Fun.
And he would just get into the most epic fights with the callers. It was amazing.
Oh, I love that. I wish callers would call us up and fight with me.
I apologize 1,000 times to you. I'll get on my hands and knees. I misspoke.
Yeah, see, you know, before I misspoke, and Todd and Kerry, like, within a fraction of a second, jumped down my throat. Like, I barely finished getting out my topic. I am just like Ted Nation, apparently.
I'm a human being, Dakota.
I don't know what that is.
I'm not going to talk to a jerk like you.
Wow, he was great. He was a legend.
That's awesome. Wow. Did he last? Like, did he retire? Did he get fired?
No, he probably was around for about 12 to 13 years, I'd say.
Okay.
And then he got ousted in 2010, I think.
Oh, so
recently. Felt it was time for a new voice. But if you last over 10 years in this market.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that's 10 years is like 40 years in another job.
I totally agree. I wonder where he is now.
I think he's down in Florida somewhere. I actually looked him up on Wikipedia the other day.
Was he a Boston guy, you know, a native?
I believe so, yeah. He ran for, like, Boston City Council as well after he gave up radio.
Like in his – oh, okay.
I think EEI didn't renew his deal in 2010, and then he was doing weekends on the news station on 98.5 for a while.
Okay.
And he was trying to pursue a career in politics, and then I think he decided to take his act to South Beach, like LeBron. I think he's down in, like, West Palm Beach or something.
I'm calling that guy. I'm going to call him.
He was a our own Paul Perillo here of Patriots Football Weekly. Paul was really close with him, and I think he gave Paul his start in radio on his show back in the day.
Oh, okay.
Ted would have Paul on to do like a once a week Patriots segment, like for an hour every night, like for one time a week during, you know, the season,
just
the football
wow.
season. So Paul kind of is very protective of Ted, but he is a good guy, but he just got into these epic shouting matches with the callers, and it was just like, it was gold.
I love it. Love it.
I'm not going to talk to a jerk like you.
That's right.
Go get him, Bill.
No emails from any jerks either.
Speaking of emails, Bill, we got one more.
What do we got?
All right. This one is from Joachim in Oslo, Norway. Okay?
Yeah.
Here's what he writes. I don't have any fantasy questions today. I only want a nickname.
Only want a nickname, ? Only want a nickname?
He wants you to nickname him. He emails every week.
See, you say Joachim. I say Joaquim. And Joaquim, you know, Joaquim the Dream. I can go on and on with Joaquim. But Joakim, the way you say it.
Maybe we need to figure out how to pronounce it. Maybe he can email us back and, you know, sound it out for us.
You know, we can just simply call him the Norwegian.
Norwegian Nightmare?
No, not the Norwegian Nightmare, just the Norwegian. I mean, we only have one guy from Norway that emails us. If he says the Norwegian, we know he was talking about.
Wasn't Christian Okoye the Nigerian Nightmare?
Who's Christian Okoye?
Really? Yeah, how old? Am I that old?
I'm drawing a blank.
You're not that old.
Running back, Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't remember him.
Okay.
I remember him.
Yeah, he was awesome. Wasn't he the Nigerian Nightmare?
Yeah.
Kevin?
I'm not going to get all racial on this, but...
Is a Nigerian-American and former American football player.
Yeah, I...
The Nigerian Nightmare.
No comment.
That's what his name was, his nickname, right according to his Wikipedia page. However, he played in 1989. I was three.
Same age.
All right, so what's the nickname for our buddy from Norway?
Right now, it's Joaquim the Dream, until he tells me that his name is Joakim, like you say, then he's going to be... Then he's going to be called the Norwegian.
Just the Norwegian. Okay.
Just the Norwegian. Sometimes that's all you need.
Okay.
The Norwegian. Kind of like, you know, the German.
What?
I don't know.
Yeah, isn't there a... Well, we got to figure out how to pronounce the name. He does email us every week, so we, you know. He hasn't corrected us yet, probably because we each say it a different way.
Yeah, so he doesn't know which one is right.
Yeah, exactly.
I get a great song to end the show with now.
All right. Speaking of ending the show.
Predictions.
Yeah, we need to get to predictions for this game.
Bill, absolutely.
Let's go with Kevin first.
Yeah, that's
all me. Right, Kev, you're up. On the hot seat. Denver Broncos, New England Patriots, Sunday night football. Football night in America. Best game of the year. What do you got?
Going out on a limb.
Oh, here we go.
We had most people that were predicting a tight affair and predicting Denver to come out victorious today and yesterday when we had our shows here on Patriots.com radio. I am going to take the Patriots. I like the spot. I think that they're angry. I think they're annoyed. And if you could feel, you know, if it's possible to feel good about a football team coming off a loss, I think they played actually on a whole pretty well the other night. They didn't show a lot of rust. They made one big mistake with the Ridley fumble. And other than that, it was a pretty clean game. And they did move the ball up and down the field. They just had very limited possessions to score points. I think that, from all indications, it's going to be really cold here on Sunday. The high is going to be about 30 to 33 degrees. By the time the game starts, it's going to be about 20. It's also supposed to be about 15 to 25 mile an hour winds.
Oh, wow. So I should bring my sweater and my hat and my gloves because you got me tickets, right?
So it's going – I didn't get you tickets. It's going to be cold, and it's going to be not a pleasant evening to be outside, that's for sure. I'm still one of these guys that clings to the Peyton doesn't do well in the elements.
Okay.
If you recall last year when they played the Ravens at Mile High, one of the reasons that I predicted the Ravens to win that game was that it was really cold and windy. And, you know, even though he was at home, he just doesn't do all that well in those conditions. And I feel like, especially now with his age and with the ailments that he has going on, he doesn't have as great an ability to drop back and really drive the ball if there's some wind and some cold to kind of to affect him. He's never thrown a great ball. I think we can all agree on that. He throws kind of a wobbler most of the time. Now, it's always well placed, but I just think that this is one of those games where, you know, 20 degrees with a 5-degree wind chill is going to affect him. And I think you're not going to see as clean, pristine a passing game as you've seen in a lot of these other games for Denver. And I think Brady and these guys are just used to it. And I think that plays into their advantage. So I'm going to go Patriots 27. Broncos 24.
Well, we started off the predictions with 5 minutes left in the show. Kevin took up all the time, and now we have to go.
It's good analysis, though.
I have 31-24.
I'm sorry.
31-24, Pats.
31-24. Kevin, what was yours?
You honestly,
27-24.
Yeah.
And if you recall, Todd, before I'll just one more second.
Yeah.
When I went through that prediction for the Ravens game last year,
yep.
And rightfully so, you guys gave me a little flack, which you should have. but because I was one of the few people that actually legitimately thought the Ravens were going to win that game.
Yep.
I kind of explained, I went out at length and explained why I felt that way and sort of how I envisioned that result happening. And if you recall, like, you know, Peyton, he made one bad mistake on a pick, and then another one was kind of a deflected ball pick. I think he even had, he got strip sacked in that game as well. There were just some, you know, uncharacteristic plays. And I think that the cold is also a mental thing for him, and he's just not as sharp when he's uncomfortable. And I just think that there's a lot working against him with his body this week, too. So I think that, you know, in order for the Patriots to win this game...
Kevin, he didn't get touched last week.
I know, but I'm just saying, in order for the Patriots to win this game, I think they're going to need to win the turnover battle, and I think Peyton's going to turn the ball over at least twice. And that's my jam. I'm out.
Is Alfonso Dennard playing?
I doubt it.
Is Aqib Talib healthy?
I think he's. I don't think he's 100%, but I think he'll play.
Is Kyle Arrington okay?
I think he'll play, yeah.
Devin McCourty?
Yeah, he'll play.
All right.
I just think Dennard's the one that you're not
going to get.
Dennard's
the only one.
Yeah, yeah. I think they will get their safety back as well, Steve Gregory, who's been practicing this week, who will have a cast on his thumb, I believe. He'll play with one of those clubs.
Okay.
So he's been out for a couple weeks with a broken thumb, and coming out of the bye, he started to practice a little bit. He did not play last week, but I think he'll play this week.
Interesting.
So I think that if the Patriots can do a good job of you know, just kind of covering the middle of the field and forcing Peyton to throw outside the numbers or throw deeper and kind of really focus on taking away some of those intermediate short pick routes, you know, that they love to throw. I think if they can force him to throw the ball outside the numbers down the field, I think it's going to play into their hands.
You guys are both nuts. The game's going to be well into the 40s. 44-41 is going to come down to a last-second field goal. Who kicks the field goal, Gostkowski or Prater? Your guess is as good as mine. I will give it to the home field as this one. Pats win 44-41.
All right. It's a vastly different game, Bill. We'll see. I would love to see that game. I'd love to see that game.
I mean, you will see that game because you'll be there. Yeah. I would love to see that game, but I'm not going to be there.
All right. I can't get you tickets for the last time. For the love of God, nobody can get a ticket to this game. I told you, you can get a credential from Fred. And come up and sit in the nice heated box with him.
I want a seat next to some fans. I want to get rowdy.
That's not going to happen.
You get rowdy.
Unless you pay some serious coin.
I'm willing to pay.
You got to get Andrew to give you a raise, give you a Christmas bonus early.
A Christmas bonus? We don't celebrate any holidays at Football Nation.
Oh, this guy, our holiday bonus or whatever it is.
We don't celebrate any holidays.
Yeah, we don't either here, so.
We don't get Thanksgiving off. We don't get Christmas off.
Brutal.
We don't get New Year's off.
There's no Christmas in football land.
No, or Thanksgiving.
He's like the Grinch, you're saying.
Thanksgiving is like double duty because no one else is working except like one or two guys.
I had to work last Thanksgiving. It was miserable.
I know.
Miserable.
All right, so... Two out of the three of us have the Pats winning?
What?
I have the Pats winning. You have the Pats winning. What is Todd? I forgot what Todd did.
31-24 Patriots.
So it's unanimous. We're all going with the underdog Patriots.
Oh, I got to switch my pick then. No, I'm not sticking with you mushes.
That's true.
I'm going to go 44-41 Broncos.
There you go.
And this way, at least if I'm wrong, you guys have something to talk about on Tuesday.
Someone had to do it.
We will not be back on next Thursday. It is Thanksgiving, so I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. But we will be back next Tuesday, 4 to 6, Patriots.com radio, for the Fantasy Football Champs, helping you guys with your Week 13 lineups by then. Until then, I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. Best of luck and have some fun this weekend. Big game with the Broncos and the Patriots. Gotta find something to say now. Holding back every day the same. Don't want to be alone. Listen to me, I never say anything at all, but with nothing to consider, they forget my name. Hey. They call me Help. They call me Stacy. They call me Her. They call me Jane. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. They call me Quiet Girl, but I'm a riot. Mary Jo Lisa, always the same. That's not my name. Against the wall.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.